Where did you really feel that you're seeing this little entrepreneurial thing that even was a little bit different? Did you get, were you in school? Were you trying out of school? Were you in school? Were you hyper?
I was rushed in school, but I wasn't in it too much. I was more so on the sites than I was. But it was always in me. The way I look at it is, working for someone making 150 a day, if you're lucky making 150 a day, you have to be a good worker, make that. Or you could buy a car, sell it 3 hours later for 500 euro profit.
Yeah.
So when I kind of weighed up the options, it was, right, take the chance, take the risk. What's the worst going to happen? You're going to go back working the job.
Yeah.
That's it.
So,
welcome back to Platinum Property Podcast. On today's podcast, Paul chats with business owner and entrepreneur Tom Sherlock, the owner of BT Scaffolding. Tom chats about his earlier years, how he started his business, built his team, and how he manages the business. He talks about how he balances work and personal life and his plans for scaling his business. Tom also has a keen interest in investments. And during this podcast, Paul and Tom did a live case study on one of Tom's current projects. So if you're listening audio only, feel free to jump over to Platinum's YouTube channel and watch this session and view the case study. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
All right, folks, welcome back. And today I have asked a good friend of mine, Tom, to jump in and give us a little bit about his business, about his life, and how he can help a couple of you listeners. Sit back, relax, and let's get into the world of scaffolding and building, and most of all, entrepreneurship. Tom, you're very welcome in.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. How are you?
Not bad at all. So look, let's get into it today. I asked you to jump in. I think you have a really, really good business. And again, I always say this, these podcasts are just for me and I allow people to listen in. So
I'm one of the lucky ones.
You are. But we know that you have a great business. And again, I love to give young people encouragement to say, well, do you know what? I think I might be able to set up a little business, or I might be able to do something like this. So hopefully today we'll get a bit of entrepreneurial stuff out of you too. And you can give us a little bit of a background of what you normally do on a daily basis. And what
walk. That's all I do.
Well, that's most important. Right, go on. Give us a little bit about your background and where you come from and what you do.
Right, so started the business in 2022, actually. I've been scaffolding on and off site scaffolding since I'm 14, 14. My old lad has his own scaffolding company, jumping in there with him. Not too happy that I went to sell my own one, but look, it's the name of the game. So yeah, I'm always flipping and buying things. Everyone used to call me a little devil boy years ago. But it's always in me. I never had the thing to go work with. I was always working for family, never worked for anyone outside the family. Just because the fact couldn't do it.
Right.
It's going to work with people outside the family. So I set up the business 2022. Took it from there. Long hours, long days from there, 7 days a week. Managed to build up a good couple of lads. Lost a few lads along the way, but strong, solid team now.
Yeah.
That's how we are.
You are at it going from strength to strength. I'm watching closely what you're doing as well. I think it's a really, really interesting business. So we'll get into it now in a few minutes. But again, just take me back a little bit there again, because you said something that most entrepreneurs say. You know, you work flat out, you work long hours. You sort of worked with the old man for the best part of your life, probably growing up. You've seen the trade, you built it, but you're a little bit of a Dell boy, exactly like myself, buying and selling stuff. Where did you really feel that you're seeing this little entrepreneurial thing that even was a little bit different? Did you get, were you in school? Were you trying out of school? Were you in school? Were you a hyper fucker?
I was rushed in school, but I wasn't in it too much. I was more so on the sites than I was. But it was always in me. The way I look at it is, working for someone making 150 a day, if you're lucky making 150 a day, you have to be a good worker, make that. Or you could buy a car, sell it 3 hours later for 500 euro profit.
Yeah.
So when I kind of weighed up the options, it was, right, take the chance, take the risk. What's the worst going to happen? You're going to go back working the job.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you had the entrepreneurial stuff where you can see, right, if I buy that car, polish it up, clean it, put a bit of a service on it, I can make 500 quid out of it.
Yeah.
Or else I can go in and do this 9 to 5 and work for 10 or an hour, 15 quid an hour. So you spotted out fairly quickly in life. So When did you take the adapt? What was school like for you? Where did you go at school?
Western school.
Right.
Fast clown, the usual. Like most entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But no, I wasn't. I was more so working than in school, to be honest. Now, my used to bait me up into school every day, but I was kind of, not troublemaking there, but got myself into a lot of trouble in school. Some things not proud of, some things just happened. It is what it is.
Mm.
But no, then.
Did you do a leaving?
Done the leaving.
You made it to the leaving?
I made it to the leaving, just about now. But now I made it to the leaving. After that, I was working with my uncle, just doing labouring. Break me back every day doing labouring, you know yourself. And you're working for the family, it's no slacking. And then I was working with my other uncle on and off between the two of them. And then seeing a nice little pickup online, was working with the outfit as well. I just said, fuck it. I'm going for it, and that's it. Saved up the money to buy the pickup. Saved up my first $5,000 to buy the scaffolding, and it was just there, just do everything.
Right, it's mad way to say, because obviously we've talked, and I know you were at a couple of our events over the last years and done a bit of property training too. But you have see this scaffolding company now that you've built, because you built it from zero. I remember saying to you before, it's like a rental business. It just producing money. Obviously, you have to go out and do the work. But you have obviously bought a level of scaffolding that produces a level of money. And then you look at this system and say, okay, well, if I buy a bit more, because when I knew you at the start, you hadn't got as much as you have now. But you obviously are what we call around here, feeding the beast. So you're feeding the company. When it's making money, you're feeding it back into the company to grow, which is a really clever move to do. But you've obviously looked at this as a return on investment and said, if I can create one house here with scaffolding around it and get $3,000. Well, if I do 30 of these houses, $30,000 coming in and scale out. When did you start to step it up a little bit?
I was just constantly like, if I first $5,000, I always remember the roofer that I knew gave me a chance and he said, listen, there's a job there. And what you do it for? I undercut myself by a mile. It was probably about $3,000 job done for €1,200. And €1,200 straight back down to the floors. I need more. Next job. I think it was three two or something. Got that, bang, straight down.
So the 1,200 quid, like, don't mind losing money because we all do that.
We all do that, yeah.
But like, usually,
definitely lose money.
you have to lose money because you definitely won't switch into gear. Was in a mindset, we have this thing called a switch, and everyone's trying to figure out where the switch happened. Because an entrepreneur's life will go from a load of ideas to a load of madness to a switch. Would you call that €1,200 the switch where you went, oh fuck, I'm off here. Yeah, at least I have something now.
That was it. When I got that money handed to me, it was just it's game ball now. The grass on the pitch, play ball, you can either make it or break it. Yeah. So it was just, ever since that, it's just the same system again and again. And it's just constantly, it's one day you could have $40,000 in your business account. Well, that could be on the Monday, but that Thursday when the wages come out, when your suppliers get paid, when the diesel gets paid, insurance gets paid, you can be left with $2,000 or $3,000, and it's just a constant revolving door, and you have to try to grab something in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it's just always just building. It's always building. BT gone global. That's my goal.
Right. Well, I did have a thing written down here earlier on, and I never got a chance to ask you this, but it's Tom Sherlock. Where did BT scaffolding? How did you take BT out of it should be TS now.
Should be TS, but there's a funny story about that one. So after that first job, I didn't have a name. It's just Tom Sherlock. Yeah, scaffolding, whatever. Wasn't a big deal back then.
So you knew you were going to set this company up somewhere.
Well, I wasn't even 18 when I done my first job. I was only 17, so I couldn't set the company up till I was 18.
Right.
So sitting in the pub, every Thursday we used to go to a pub for bingo, and all of us were sitting there, probably about 10, 12 of us, and we were all having a laugh, you know yourself, a few drinks, having a laugh, messing about. Like, I was, boys, what would they call the company? Come on, we had to think of something here now. It was actually the day that I'd done the job. And they're messing. All the lads just call me Big Tom, because as you can see, I'm always 6 foot, so I'm a tall enough lad, big enough lad. So one of the boys goes, call it BT Scaffolding. And I said, okay, there we go. That's the name. That stuck with it.
So BT Scaffolding, Big Tom. So when I see the trucks knocking around, I'm going to say, there's Big Tom rolling into town. Anyway, take all the jokes aside, you're actually creating a fucking big company. And it's not, like, I know when we're chatting, having a laugh, it's probably letting the pressure out of the cooker. But I mean, your daily basis comes with a lot of stress. Like, I look at your stories, you're out that fucking door 6:30, 7 in the morning, the trucks are full. Like, I know we're having a bit of crack tonight, but you've literally built something really, really good, systemized. Just take me back a little bit into the stress levels of what you do on a daily basis now, because it's not just you and one or two other guys. You have a crew of nearly 10 men now.
Yeah, we're touching 10 men. We're always, well, I say always, in the past 2-3 months, since the start of the year, anywhere between 8 to 10 men. You know yourself, you get a few lads where they come in for a week or two and you're like, out the door you go. I pay high enough wages, so I make sure that I have good enough lads. That's why I can pay the high wages. But no, it's just, it's constant, just building, building, building. Like, I'm out the door 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning. I don't have to set my alarm no more. I'm up at 5 every morning. And the phone starts ringing at 5:30, 6 o'clock, different lads, different builders. And it's up to the yard. I try load lorries every night, but you know yourself, sometimes that doesn't happen. Well, yeah. You wouldn't know yourself, but sometimes that doesn't happen. But now it's up to the yard, load the lorries, try look for gear, because trying to get the gear nowadays is hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we were having a quick chat about that earlier on. It's not, as I said to you again, you have a serious amount of sights on now. It's not just, you know, one. I know we talk about the €1,200, which is great where the switch happened. I mean, you've a ton load of shit on now. So if you've got 25 sites,
50, 60 sites all around,
if you have a serious amount of gear out on hire, so you must be struggling. That yard is probably, when you say you're looking for stuff in the yard, it's all out on the fucking sites.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you deal with the scaling side of things when you look into the yard and the yard is empty but you've got 50 sites on?
It's hard, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I get home, that's all I think about day in and day out is, well, at this stage when there's no gear in the yard, it's just, what am I going to do? How am I going to raise the money to get this? It's constantly, well, it's not constantly, it's checking invoices, Wednesday and 28 days hitting, ringing the suppliers. I have a great connection with the suppliers, Westport Equipment down in Summer Hill there in Mead. Big shout out to James and them. I really appreciate the help. The lads helped me out at the start.
As in, did I give you...
They gave me credit when I had nothing.
See, this is a serious point, and when you shout out to the loud, what's their actual, say their names again?
Liam and James.
This is the other thing as well, and I know you're going to do this for someone that may drop underneath you, because I know, by the way, you go on. When I'm doing a house, we've used different suppliers in the past, and for us to go off and raise the credit, raise things, put money into the vans, all the bullshit that you have to do on a daily basis, take the risk. People just see the money side of things. But I use a company now called Mannion Suppliers. They nearly supply me a full house. They don't ring threatening. They don't ring shouting. Is all we have is respect for each other, that I'm going to pay you when the deal is done. And they're going to give me a good, good level of trust that I can take the material and put it in. So the guy's done the same for you down in...
The guy's done the same for me. And I've never went elsewhere. I've had lads, as you know me, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. But I've all the sales reps ringing me. A deal with Westport, and that's it. Even if they're a higher rate, just the trust is there, the respect is there, loyalty is there. It's the main thing. Loyalty, that's all I'm about.
Yeah,
it's loyalty. If you're loyal to me, I'm loyal to you. And now it's just constantly down there. And if it's case, I pay a certain amount each month depending on what I get. And if I'm stuck for the money, I just ring James. They say, James, listen, I'm gonna be a week short, and that's okay. They say, yeah, no problem. But then there's times where I could pay a double month or a triple month.
Yeah.
And they know that's coming. So no, they're pretty fair that way.
There's a rule in our company, in all of our companies now that we have, and it was embedded from one of my own private mentors that is in my group that I have a lot of respect for. But he said to me, I don't give a fuck what happens Monday to Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Everybody that's involved in your company, no matter what the news is, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you update them before they head into the weekend. It doesn't matter if you haven't got the 50 grand check. It doesn't matter if you have the check Friday, before close of business, update everyone. So I got into the routine of updating banks. They were like, I don't need that fucking thing. I'm up, they know all these things in behind the scenes. Again, with suppliers, if we have a payment going out and they have given me the grace on the payment, and it's a maybe $60,000 payment or whatever it is. If for some reason I know that's not coming, I'm on that phone. I won't let anyone else in the office make the call. I'll make the call and say, here's what happened. It's landing Monday morning. Apologies about it. Again, if I know it's coming, I make sure that I make the call on a Friday before I close the business, that they know the check is coming. That's a rule that I have internally anyway. Sorry, going off that point.
Yeah, no, it's just, now if I know money, if say the 17th, I have to pay on the 17th of every month. Yeah. If I know the money's not going to be there, I'll ring them. I won't just ignore them, but they should probably wouldn't even ring me.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't ignore their calls. I wouldn't be blanking them. I wouldn't go elsewhere. If I owed them, say, 30, 40 grand, and yeah, I had 10 grand, but I knew I had to pay them 10 grand, I wouldn't go somewhere else and pay them.
Yeah.
I ring them and say, listen, I need XXX. I have 10 there. Or if I pay that off and just add the other amount onto the account. And yeah, no problem at all. I'll walk away.
So you buying gear off them then? That's their
wholesalers.
They're wholesaling to you. So yeah, they're real part. Like they're a real big moving part in your business to grow it.
Yeah, well, yeah, without them, I'd be fucked.
yeah, no, that's fair. And that's true, because the credit is a major, major thing.
Yeah.
And they probably want to see trust people like you, the company in that probably watch your business growing from zero up there. And they know, well, look, Tom's 100% connected to us and he's not going to fuck around with other people.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. So I'm getting the feeling that trust is a major thing in your life. How do you deal with that with the lads or girls you have working?
The lads I have now are like a puff. 50,000 euro on the table, and I could trust them that they'd not a euro be taken off it. A box of smokes there is a different story. But no, the lads I have now, I've respect for the lads I do. If it's a case where we're on a job and it's hitting 4 o'clock, the lads' hours are 8 to 4, lorry drivers are 7 to 4. If it's a case where right 3 o'clock comes, we're not getting this done before 4 o'clock, they listen, lads. Well, most of them had to say, they just turn around and say, Tom, listen, we'll stay to get the job done. And they all get their extra few quid, then they're overtime. And it's not a case of, oh, well, I'm not staying late. No, I'm not doing that. I have to go do this. It's, they'll stay late, no problem at all. But the thing is, they're done early on the job. They're done by 11, 12, 1. They still get paid for the full day.
Mm.
So it's a case of, they know I look after them, so they look after me. That's a big thing when I'm trying to tell new lads when they're coming on board with me is, you look after me, I'll look after you. If you don't look after me, they won't be looking after you because you won't be working with me no more.
Yeah.
So now the lads I have now, like, I don't have to ring them in the morning, so I have to text them in the morning. So if I send the address in every evening about 6, 7, and they're all there. The lorry drivers are in the yard, no problem at all. They're all either loading up with time when you get there, or they're gone and all, and on the streets sorted.
So there's no messing with your systems that are in place. So going back to you doing your first job as well, because I think it's really important for people that are listening in. People always think this is a million miles away, and it's not. It's actually at the end of your fingertips. So a lot of Irish people are just fucking lazy.
Yeah.
And that's fact. And the people I speak to on a daily basis, they conquer so much stuff during the day. They're good, good entrepreneurs. But how did you go from the 1,200 euro job now to like 50 jobs? If you've no business background, or you may have left school, probably didn't go to third level education like myself. I didn't even do it. But how did you incorporate that? I'm just trying to get into your mind here. What are you listening to in business? Like, you obviously, do you have anyone else that's knocking around you telling you a little bit of business stuff? Have you gone to training or any business? Because
my father's a businessman all his life, as long as I'm growing up. And anyway, he's always either owned the business or investing in the business, or he's doing something. And well, I get my work ethic from my grandfather. He's the man. He's the 70s. He's touching 80 now, and he's still out on sight. He is.
Jesus Christ.
He's still tipping around. Cyril.
Good man.
So he's still tipping around. But now my father, I get the entrepreneurship from him. So it's always the case, even now, even though we're rivals or such. Now it's, if I need something, it's just, Dad, what will I do here? What do you think? Or what way is that tax work? Or what way is that work? And it's just, Yeah, because he knows from experience. Like yourself, young lad last year, which you know from experience.
Yeah, you know the pitfalls you go into. But again, what I've seen even with the Platinum brand is, I knew I wasn't the most cleverest person. I knew I could drive all the stuff. But I was like, there's so much other stuff. Because when you go into a world of business, we know we can do the scaffolding. We know we can do the houses. But there's all that other shit where taxes come in, wages come in, HR comes in, all these different things that when you're setting out to a small little company with one or two people and you're like, I don't need it. Then all of a sudden you're into 10, 11, probably going to grow it to 20 or 30. Before you know it, you could be one, well, I presume you have an idea in your head that you're going to be probably one of the biggest throughout Dublin. But that's going to come where Tom's going to have to come out of the business, which I find it very difficult myself to even talk about. Because you're taken out of that equation and then you have to look in at this big beast of a model. Like, have you ever seen all the different systems that go inside a business, or where are you training that out?
Just taking it as it comes as such. It's I'm at this stage now, I am kind of trying to get off the pills, trying to take a step away, but I'm an OCD head. I have to make sure everything's being done the way I want it done.
Yeah.
It's even like all the lads drive my vans, they're my cars and my lorries, like, doesn't matter now. But if I walk by the van, I see rubbish there, I see smoke, but it's clean, that like, it's just the way I'm going about it. But no, trying to step out of the business is very hard. And it's very hard to put your full trust in a group of lads to do stuff that, the way you want it. I've learned over the past 2 years to only expect 70% of yourself out of other people.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before. But that is very fucking true.
Yeah. I'll only expect 70% of yourself out of others. Now, at the end of the day, lads, it's a job to them, 8 to 4. Yeah. They don't care after that as such. But no, you can't be... A big thing as well as me is I do get a bit of a hothead as well. Now, not so much screaming and shouting with the lads is, but when I go into a job and it's not as much as done, or it's not done the way I want, I get a bit ticked to myself. I don't get a bit ticked to the lads, I get a bit ticked to myself. Oh, they should have had that done by now. They should have had that done by now. But then as well, I step back and I say, right, I would have got that done because it's my business. So I need to make sure the client's happy and all that. The lads don't care as much as I do. So you can't really expect them to have much done.
So are you ever planning on like putting in like, okay, let's just take one job you've done, one scaffolding house, and you go, that's the house, in my eyes, as Tom Sherlock, that's the way I want it. Would you ever think of taking that in, programming it, that the lads can see all step by step onto a computer that they can log in on their app and say, that's exactly the way Tom wants it. They have to tick a button that they've gone through it, seen it, like learned from it. And then if you went to site again and said, well, lads, why the fuck isn't that done the way I said it? You've seen the program. You've seen the step-by-step, the way I've done it. Like, why is there a ladder? I'm just thinking out my head here now. Why is there a ladder sticking out that can hit a fucking bus when it should be in the way I've said it? How are you going to scale? Like, when you have to come out and deal with bigger problems, or you're out trying to get bigger contracts, you're not going to be able to focus on the daily running of that business. You're going to have to step back at some point. But if you're obsessive and you're a bit of a control freak like me, a system should rectify that. The lads know that, you know, if you've got 20 lads in, well, the 20 lads know and they've trained on their app probably once a day or maybe twice a week even, that the house that they're heading into, well, that's the way the boss man expects it done.
Yeah, with scaffolding wise, it's a different business than most other businesses. Because there's a lot of fundamentals in it behind that. As you said there, the yard, the lorries, the material, is such where if you're, say, a Sparks, it's just ring the suppliers, need this, this, and this, and it's dropped to site, and you can just tell the lads, it's the same system, constant, your force fix, push your words through, second fix, put your spotlights in, whichever, such, not too much about Sparks. But with scaffolding wise, you're always coming up to different things. Like, if you're scaffolding a house, and there was a porch on it, then there was an step in, you have to work your way around different things. So you can't really get an app set up in a system. But I'm trying to currently set up an app that has a checklist on it. So
yeah,
it's your science, your netting, your tow boards, certain distance away from a wall, the way the ladders are tied, and that sort of things that have to be done on every job, that sort of way. But as it comes to the design of a job, it's kind of having trust in the lads that they know what they're at.
Yeah.
Know what they're doing, they know they're going to do a re, and it's not going to be a safety hazard, which is the main thing about me.
Yeah.
If the lads don't know that I work is the main thing with scaffolding.
Yeah, it's really, really important because, again, you are going up beside all the electrical cables. There's a lot of fucking moving parts you have that you have to take into account as a business owner. If someone gets killed, you, and it's going to be on your conscience the rest of your life. So there's a lot of stuff that we do as business owners have to take into the equation. But again, we're business owners. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to create some sort of app. So again, for you, I always hear this word because I'm obsessed with businesses. That's why I do the business podcast, because I love to know loads of different businesses, not just my own one. But I always hear the word, oh, get yourself a good general manager, everything be grand. Can you see yourself at some point sticking another Tom in there and maybe giving them 100 grand a year and saying, trying to increase it from the 70% where you say that, you know, that good rule of thumb that someone's at 70%, but can you see another 80 to 90, or maybe let's call them a 95% lad there that you can fully step back, go off and scale the company, go off and buy more scaffolding, fill the yard, get more projects? Because at the end of the day, like, you're exactly like me. If I go into a sale and you go into a sale, there's a good chance we're going to get the sale. The sale helps the company grow. If I stick Ozzy out to sell to buy that house, well, he's probably going to come back with no house. So at the end of the day, we have to, there's certain parts of the equation that we can probably never really hand out. And I think the sales is really important. So if you are to step back out of the daily run of the business and fix on, you know, trying to grow it and sell more scaffolding, obviously, what would it look like for you?
Well, at the stage I'm at now is I need someone like a foreman, such like a, like that supervisor going around, but at the stage I'm at, it's not affordable to pay someone to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping to get another crew on the road and hopefully another one or two big sites, as you know yourself, most of that's not me. I'm mainly just small residential jobs, in and out houses, one-off houses. But I'm trying to step more into the bigger side of the construction, all the big residential developments, all the big apartment blocks. So hopefully if I get one or two of them, get another lorry on the road, another crew, I can step back, hire a lad in, hopefully get a lad that's in scaffolding. Mainly, it doesn't have to be a young lad, now a lad that knows what he's at and would tell the lads, listen, that has to be done. Tom said, it has to be done like that. That's the way it is. I can step back then. I'm more so a people's person than anything. Why a lot of lads get along with me as such. I can hopefully step back then and start going around more sites. Look at them when I'm starting off, knocking in the sites, knocking in the jobs, handing the cards out and trying to get more bigger sales. Business sales. Yeah, it's just, it's the main thing. But as I said, it's just the stage I'm at now, I can't afford to pay a supervisor.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest thing nowadays, where if this was 5 to 10 years ago, stage one now, we could happily pay a supervisor and probably be sitting at home yourself having a few cups of tea.
Everyone says that, but I mean that you'll do that. I remember when we got our first rental business up, I could have easily sat at home and I did. I was like, well, where the fuck is everyone?
What would they do?
I'll tell you the truth. I walked into that square with Tara one. This is how completely tunnel vision I had for business. I walked into the square on like a Tuesday morning, like sort of as we started to say, all right, I needed to take the brakes off here and just actually see what real life was. And I went into the square one, I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning. And I remember saying to Tara, like the kids were in school, we were going down. I was just coming out of a mad transition of hectic work. No hours ever given to myself. Not doing anything normal, just work. We walked through the square one day and I was like, what the fuck are all these people doing here? And I was like, what are you talking about?
He's not have jobs.
He's not at work. Like, what are these people doing here on a Tuesday morning? Like, what the fuck? The place was packed. But again, that's how tunnel vision I was. So until I came out of the business a little bit and sort of look back for the growth side of it, you'll be the same yourself. You'll have to be dragged out of it. But I think when you do come out of it, you'll focus and you'll say, okay, my wages could be 50 grand. But if I'm to give that 50 grand to someone else, how am I going to increase it? And you will increase it with the sales. Because I know if you went on the road and you met half of the builders that are out on the streets, or half of the guys in my group probably, they're probably pissed off at their own scaffolding company because they're not getting that care, or they're not getting, you know, they're getting lads coming and there's scaffolding falling down and chipping a car and there's fucking mayhem happening. Whereas if they're using BT scaffolding, there's a system in place, there's care taken in place, it's a bit of a family run business. there's generations behind it that know what they're doing when it comes to scaffolding. There's a lot less low risk. You could probably turn that from, you know, just a conversation into business, and it could be another flow of 10 or 15 grand coming in per month.
Yeah, no, I do. A lot of lads that I do, they talk to on jobs and lock into or bring up with. I say a lot of lads hate me because I'm constantly, I have lists upon lists of, I get them off websites, get them off Instagram, Facebook, and I just ring. And the way I look at it is, 1 out of 100 is better than me sitting there for an hour scrolling through TikTok.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly trying to get it, but a lot of people don't realize, and that's probably a bit off topic, but with scaffolding, it's heavy material, big material, big long material. Things do get broken, and you think, like, and the amount of houses we go through, probably 40, 50 jobs a month, where it's up and down, things will get broken. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that. And it's a thing that's kind of frustrating, where it could just be as simple as a plant pot or as simple as a patch of grass getting stepped across. And you have about 3 or 4 phone calls. You have the client ring you. You have the homeowner ring you.
Yeah.
You might have a subcontractor ring you.
Yeah.
And it's just a big thing behind that. But now with my lads is, we try to take as much care. I tell lads to treat it as you're working as your own house.
Mm.
If you're going into someone's house, respect it. Make sure that you're moving stuff out of the way gently, moving things out of the way. A lot of people know the scaffolding coming, to leave their cars in the garden, or leave the dog out the back, or the plant pot's there, or this and that. And a few of the L ladies do like to, don't touch your flowers, make sure your flowers, this and that. But no, but I tell the lads, make sure you're treating as your own house. Have that respect. Don't be like other crowds. The way I look at it is, more work we get, more work you get. More work we all get, more money you get.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is, if I'm making $5,000 off a job, why shouldn't the lads be making better money?
I'm fair in that way.
So I prefer to have 10 solid good lads that are doing the overtime, doing the Saturdays, doing the Sundays, we're 7 day a week operation, than having 15 lads who are half hours in it
and are getting
lower wages. I prefer to see my lads driving nice cars, going on holidays, being able to enjoy their lives rather than just working a job and being in the height of it every day, waking up like...
Well, getting in and giving a good solid day's in, work.
Giving
in
a good solid day's work. 6 o'clock, the group chat starts, all the lads are having the laugh and you go to a lot of other scaffolding companies, they'll all be having a smoke, having a coffee, they wouldn't be too happy. But
so that brings me back to then again, like for you being again a young business owner as well, at some point you're probably going to have to go off to, and it's terrible to say that me having to say this, but in the UK, that's where I done all my training. It's a sin to actually say that. That's why I created Platinum Property Training, because I thought...
We are delighted to announce that this podcast is sponsored by Platinum Property Training.
Start your property education today. From simply one click of a button, you could be part of the Platinum team. We have made this so affordable for everybody in the country. If you have any interest in property, there is no reason why you shouldn't be part of the Platinum brand. We have got it all systemized. It is right in there with rookies. You can spend 4, 5, 6, or 7 months in there till you get to a certain level. And then you can step up your way through the programs and you can really start to educate yourself. And we're here to help. We've got the best systems in the country. Click the link below and we will see you there. There's an entrepreneurial base here in Ireland. We're not all people that don't want to do anything. There's a level of people that are, you know, like a sponge and want to learn and want to create, but you're probably going to have to scale that thing properly. You're going to have to go off and probably do a level of education somewhere so you know all the mid, like the general manager, the you know, HR, you're going to have all these little businesses
all
to
the
pop
rules
in.
And regulations.
Oh, right, yeah, where you're going to be doing that. But you're going to have to try and figure out all the moving parts to go in there. When is Tom actually going to do it?
Don't know. That's the thing. As you said there, you constantly see me stories. I'm a workaholic. Like even at Christmas time there, I was sitting in the house scratching. I can't. I'm going to the yard. I have to just do something. But I'm hoping shortly too. That's what I'm at now. I'm hoping to get a bit more work in, hire a supervisor. Then I can step back, get more sales, start actually looking into the business, take the emotion away from it. Start looking at the figures. Yeah. Because if you don't do that, you're just going to end up working for free.
And
it's kind of getting to a stage now where I'm not letting people down, but like yourself, like Tara texting me. Yeah. I need a text back. Yeah, yeah. Text me at 8 and then text me at 10. Oh, sorry, Tara, I'm on site here. I'm doing this. I'm with the lads. And it's not fair on clients. It's not fair on new clients as well.
And it's not fair. It's not fair in your business because it needs you. It
needs me.
The lads can't send messages back. But like, I know, same again. I've had you on my sites. I haven't had any issues. So you're obviously ingraining them, like taking down. Like we had you doing it, one of our biggest jobs. And I mean, it was the biggest job for us. But there wasn't a fucking dicky board on it. Scaffolding was taken down. It was unloaded into the trucks. Trucks were all cleaned up.
I remember so the house. The house was like a zigzag.
It was like a zigzag. Yeah, and it was a tight little house.
Yeah.
That was finished. There wasn't a chip in the wall. So, I mean, hats off to whatever you're ingraining into the lads, it's working. You know, or whatever systems you have. Sorry, that's where I was going with the last question. When it jumps into the business model and you're having the crack, it's all going in the right directions. How, you know, when you ask people like, business owners are meant to have their core values, their structures, they're all different things. How are you going to grow it that the lads are actually going to keep that fun going? That they don't turn to sitting there with the smoke going, oh, fuck, here's Tom on his way. And how are you going to keep that momentum? People always say to me all the time, you know, what do you do in your company to have a bit of laugh? And I'm like, we're under so much fucking pressure. There's not too much time to have a laugh. But as you see bigger companies that you might be just tailing on to the end of, they're all going out for meetings and they're all sitting around having big dinners. And I'm like, we haven't got the fucking money to do that.
You haven't got the time as well.
And you haven't got the time because you're under stress. But as a business owner, when you're looking at them big companies, they're obviously making much more money and they can afford to do time. But that's how they keep their staff. Do you ever ask yourself, like, I'm going to have to bring the lads fucking go-kart and I'm going to have to bring them out for a few scoops? Or
well, the thing I've started this year actually is an employee in the one thing, but I'm giving the lads, say like the lads need new boots or they get a one for all voucher or something like that, something to keep them going, like something to keep them taking over. And as well as I said, I pay the lads well.
Yeah.
So there's a thing, and I'm not one of these. One of the main reasons why I set up the business is I didn't like working for people that are as much as they don't, like, of course, not pricks to get me, the pricks. And I can't deal with that. And I hate going onto sites where, like going onto your site, me and you dating together, great, get along well. Oswell, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, Oswell comes in and you're talking to him like he's a piece of dirt.
Yeah.
It's not fair and things. So I hop out of the Jeep in the morning, go over to the lads, what are you up there? Come on, get the wood, come on. They get me having a laugh with them. They start giving me a bit of stick back. But it's mainly just, it's keeping a good environment around you, keeping a good laugh. And as I like to say to people, you're only as strong as your weakest link, as most people say. If I hire in a new lad and I know he's putting the environment of the whole team down, I listen, I say, right, Paul, this is the situation here now. Either fix it or it's going to be another issue.
Yeah.
Go another week or two. Not issue. Listen, there's a 2 weeks notice. You're gone after that. You can either go on now or you can go in 2 weeks. And that's that. It's just that I don't take any bullshit off people.
Yeah.
And I don't give it either. I'm straight to the point. That's the issue. Fix it or don't fix it. It's just your choice and that's it.
My friend has a very, very healthy, healthy business, which he started from zero again. And he always comes back to the analogy of a drip into a bottle. And he's like, if you let that drip go and go and go and go, and you will let it go because you need the man, that bottle's going to fill over. And when that bottle fills over, the problem's a 1,000 times worse because there's 1,000 drips in it. It's not just a drip. He said, Paul, I'm telling you, if you want to be in any way good at business, or you want to try and keep a good business, if a drip goes into that bottle, you fucking fix it there and then. Pull it out. Have the culture in the business that there's a drip here. What's the issue? And take the piss out of it a little bit. I believe there's 2 or 3 drips in the bottle. What is it? Get it out, clean it up, and move on. Or else we're not going to have it. Like, I struggle with that big time as well, trying to keep happy culture and all these things. I'm like, yeah, well, look, it is happy. But again, when I've got a fucking rake of payments going out on
business,
Friday,
it's a business.
I'm the one that has to take the punches. Okay, just going into it again, what is the downfalls in there? What is the one thing that you're like, swear to Jesus Christ, if I ever had to wrap this thing up, that's the reason why I'd wrap this business up? Or is there one?
There isn't. In my head, there is. But if you were to look at it, you say, well, come on with yourself. You're doing grand. Everything's going all right. It's just like little things, like the gear stock. It's like, right, how can I afford to buy new stock? The payments are getting paid, no problem at all. Invoices are getting paid, no problem at all. But it's just it's that busy out there nowadays. It's just constantly return and return. Just go, go, go. It's just
your stock's probably not even getting to the yard. You're probably going from my site
to a different site to a different site to
the
a
same
different
day.
Site. It's not more or less like sometimes it'll be the same day, sometimes it'll be a day after. Like I could be taking your job down today and I'll organize that it's a bill tomorrow and then it'll be a trip the next day, a bill the next day. It's just constantly. Like we're revolving door in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's one of the stressful things about it. Trying to keep lads happy as well is because lads are coming and ring you say, like, today, oh, Tom, I need something this week.
Yeah.
And I'm not a people pleaser, but I like to, if you have me ward, you have me ward, and that's yeah. it. I'm not going to break it. If we start doing work together and I say, listen, Paul, whatever you need done, it will get done when you need it.
Mm.
And then 7 months down the line, 8 months down the line, you turn around, Tom, I need this done. I'll do whatever in my power to make sure that gets done for you because I won't break my word to you. And if it's a matter of fact where lads are calling sick or this, that, I'll be on the phone with a few subcontractors or a few lads that do days here and there for me. I'll be ringing 20, 30 people at 9 o'clock at night.
So even if it's taking a bit of a hit on the job,
there's actually some jobs I've done for free just to make sure lads are kept happy.
Mm.
And it's just, I don't like being let down. So I won't let anyone down.
Yeah.
And it might actually not affect you being let down. I can ring you and say
mentally in your head, it's part of your business that you're not gonna let
I could say this to you 2 weeks or 3 weeks there, and you say, she should have told me, it doesn't really matter, I didn't need it next week.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm thinking, no, I'm telling you I'll be there in that day.
And I had to drive to Wexford today to get a set of keys and said I could have just posted them up to you. And I was like, no, I've 4 hours. This is a stupid thing to do. Nobody in my brain, I had about 1,000 calls to make and I told that guy I'm going to have a set of keys in the morning at 7 o'clock. That's me done. Don't ask me to do anything else today, I'm gone.
Having them keys.
I had to have them keys in my hand to give him the keys at 4 o'clock today so he has them for 7 o'clock in the morning. That's the way your brain is. That's the way, like, good business owners will just knock shit out and don't let that equation happen tomorrow where you've got, now you wake up in the morning and straight away at 7 o'clock, I'll smash the window and just get in and I'll board it up. I'm like, let's clear the fucking shit for today and start fresh tomorrow. And if tomorrow the problems aren't as bad, it'll be a good day if they're not. But I'm very to the point again. So Tom, look, take me back to this because I know nowadays you don't call this big, but I mean, when I knew you at the very, very start, or maybe that first little job you done for £1,200 wasn't like this. Is this one of your bigger sites or is this a small site? This looks like an awful lot of scaffolding to me.
Nowadays, it's starting to be one of our smaller projects, to be honest with you. It's that job there, I think, was 5-odd, near enough to 600 square metres of scaffolding in it. That's just a one-off house. As I said to the builder, it looks like a small little of this.
Yeah.
But that's starting to be one of our smaller jobs.
So this is the level of work you do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
How long would a project like that take you to turn? So when you're saying you're looking into the yard, obviously if that stuff is in your yard, that's probably an awful lot of scaffolding gear. So when you say it's gone out from the yard and it's gone out over to like this site here, that's why your yard is probably looking a bit empty. But how long would something like that take to scaffold out? And what is that a house?
It's a house. It's a very big house. That is.
Christ.
I think that one took us, I think it was 3 days, and I think it was an hour or two on the fourth day. There was a snag. There was 4 men or 5 men on it. And yeah, the main thing was getting the lorries there because the traffic in Dublin nowadays is torture. It sets us back big times. But no, there's I think there's the lorry you can see there. There's 4 lorry loads of that in that job. That's a 18-ton daft lorry.
So that's lads coming, and then your boys go down there. 5 of yous went down and just started wrecking it.
Yeah,
up.
4 or 5. I can't remember exactly, and it was. All hell for leather on that one.
Are you doing that for the builder or are you just doing that for the owner?
Yeah, doing it for the builder. Time Force Construction, Mark, gentleman to deal with. That's what we're doing that one for. And it was a nice project to get done. It looks well in the end of it.
Looks well. Now, I won't ask you how much that is because that'd be giving away your trade secrets. But I'd imagine like it's probably a 25 grand project or something like that. You don't have to tell me.
It's not that much imagine now, it's a little bit under 20, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was 24, but now it is being up for, I think, till it was June, and around June it's up till, and it got put up in January. But now it's it looks well. I'm looking at it here now and I'm seeing it actually looks it looks nice to those with the sun.
That'll be Big T's house one these days.
Hopefully.
So well done. So they're not just little small little houses that you do for me.
No,
I feel embarrassed now.
We'll do one now for you one day.
I'll take one bay and I think. That's a monster house. Again, is that in Dublin?
It's in Portmarnock.
Beautiful house.
Beside the Wee Sands Hotel is.
Great stuff. Right, so again, I sense in that business as well, every time I see scaffolding and I hear, you can even hear it clunking together. When I look in at the business of your business, I'm like, it's doing very well. It's going up really quickly. You're servicing all the local builders, few builders that I know as well. You're servicing, everything's going hunky-dory. But I mean, you're standing up on a fucking house that could be four stories up and it's all decked out. There's cars probably underneath it. I mean, the level of risk is quite fucking high. How do you deal with that mentally? And like, how do you deal with the safety aspects of the business? Like, how do you take that risk on every single day?
Well, that's what the lads are trained for. Such they all have their, well, of course, the scaffolders have their scaffolding tickets, CSCS tickets, basic advanced labourers. I only let the labourers up on a safe lift.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fully trained. Now they most lads know exactly each other. Everyone that goes up, you know, right, I'm not getting up there because handrails up there, I might fall off. No, but I only let the scafflers up, and we've by law, HSA, we've the tie every the first four meters and everything after that then has to be tied every 2 meters.
Back to the building.
So either drilled in or different ways of doing it. You could do a breaker toy back down to the ground, reveal toy. I think we done one in your job, reveal toy, all that type of stuff. Lads have their harnesses, they're all have their working on heights, which is including their tickets, they pass man in hand, of course, which is everything. But then there's the risk of if I'm hitting the ledger down the crossbars, the handrails, that hammer could fall in my hand, hit someone down the road and kill them.
Yeah.
So it's a big
thing. I mean, there's no like I've had say I think was we do we have three bays up or something on one of ours, but I mean you're at the top of that. I could see Dublin City clearly and I was like, fuck. You sort of look over the edge and the scaffolding, the little wobble on the scaffolding, like, oh my god, life just flashed in front of you. But then again, I'm thinking these boys had to put this up, they have to take it down. It's a risky, like, there's this, you can mitigate the risk by being trained.
It's still risky.
But it's still fucking risky because you get a lad with a hangover on a Monday morning, you said that hammer flies off, catches a kid in the head. You're like, holy jeez, how do I deal with that? Like, you just have that really, really zoned in, have you?
Yeah, I have that. That's a, the lads aren't in any, but if I go into a site where there's a subby maybe on for me, if I think a lad is on drink, on anything, it's get off this site now.
Yeah,
need to get one of them in the bag. And it's not so much in the business. A business can always be shut down and reopened again over a different name. It's the person that you hit with something. It's their life affected for the rest of their life, their family life. If you leave someone paralyzed, dead, you never know what the effects are after that.
But
the lads all know, like, right, this is, and that goes for any scaffolding company. I hope that goes for every scaffolding company.
Yeah, well, I know a few that maybe, I don't, look, some gobshites just let people in there, and I mean, there's no, you know, you're nearly walking out the door and stuff's flying down and planks are flying down. I'm like, lads, will we shut off the site for an hour or two? Will you put this thing up?
Yeah, that's
like, oh, don't fucking worry about it. It'll be done. Like, and like, look, the risk obviously has to be controlled. I mean, I don't think we've had any of that, which it was. You just came, everything was bolted up, everything was made safe. There was a ticket on the end of it. We were told how to use it. We were brought up through it to use it. It was hunky-dory as such. But yeah. I mean, obviously when you go up a certain high, are you restricted how high you can go up? Or do you?
Well, it depends on your ticket. Basic ticket can only go up probably 7 meters or 9 meters. It's something like that, 7 or 9 meters. The house, say.
Yeah.
But an advanced lad has to go up after that. Just more so experience, knowledge, everything. Now, most Irish scafflers are basic tickets and are putting up apartment blocks and putting up everything, but by HSA rules, it has to be an advanced lad. But then again, you have the risk of that. You have a lad that's just trying to get out of there quickly. He's not tying it in properly. He's not doing certain stuff. He's not doing this, not doing that. All of a sudden, you get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Tom Loscoffin's falling through three people's houses.
Yeah, well, without taking the piss, I know of a job that boys loaded up the roof tiles onto a scaffolding, and scaffolding went. It wasn't tied in. It was just sitting at the back of a house with two bays up. Risky. That's probably to you. You're probably saying that is complaining or fucking stupid. But that's fact. That actually happened. The house in Renly. But again, no one was killed. There was no major damage. They were fucking lucky.
Yeah.
But again, so that's the risk of the business. We all have that. My risk is I could lose fucking 500 grand, right? But we all have a risk. It's nice to get it out. What's the bonuses of it? What do you, obviously for you, this is your little baby that you've got up off the ground and it's worked.
Of course, money is always everyone's factor. Yeah. But I love seeing lorries gone out of the yard. I love seeing jobs. I love posting things on Instagram, I just love seeing how everything come together and you can just step back. It's like a step on the mountain looking down. It's just like, hey, this is actually happening. This is
working. So that 1,200 euro that day, that you got that few bob, whatever, like you got paid. That switch in your brain that happened, that created them lorries gone out of drive. And next thing you're seeing, your lorries, your material, your stock, your lads, it's all fucking happening now and it's real. It's like you've taken the action, it's done. That makes you feel fulfilled.
Yeah, tell you the truth, I'm going to be 3 years now in October. And I only started taking the wage out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Never took a cent out before then. And I only took it out just so we're starting to get to the stage now where it's you're coming to summer, you're going out drinking, you're going to this, you're going to parties, you're going to festivals, everything. Yeah. It's just to have something there. But now, as I said, it's just, I love to be now in the business. It's 5 years. 5 years is my goal. Is I'm driving down the road, going to jobs, producing jobs, and I'm seeing, oh, there's John in the lorry, there's Pat in the lorry, there's Paul in the lorry, oh, there's the boys in that job, there's the lads in that job. That's what I want to see. Yeah, it's good, and everyone's happy, everyone's making their few quid, and everyone's just enjoying it. And my enjoyment is seeing everyone enjoying everything and seeing everything moving and having the BT scaffolding, the big BT sign on every job.
Going
around the city and seeing stuff.
Well, and there's definitely growth for it, because I think when I was looking at a report the other day of energy, retrofitting companies going through, retrofitting at the moment has gone through the roof. Is there 15 billion allocated to it?
Well, I couldn't tell you, but it's a lot.
It's a lot of money into the retrofit. I'll have to just triple check that number. Basically what that means is there's a lot of fucking scaffolding and doubling and nationwide going to go up because they're obviously insulating the outside of the houses. What does it, for someone that's looking in tonight, might not never be a building company, but just wants to put up scaffolding on his house to do a roof change and they're doing a self-builder and they want to use your services. What would it say? Take a project, and I need to go back to you about one thing as well. Take a project, say, in Crumlin, standard house in Crumlin. What is something like that you could wrap it for someone that may be listening in tonight and have scaffolding at the, let's just call it, at the front of the house, the gable and the back that they can take the roof off and get it changed?
You're looking at around 2.5 grand plus the VAT.
Right.
You're looking in and around somewhere that now, lads that I do work for all the time, you obviously get discounted rate because I'm not going to give
naturally
a bailing job down the road the same rate as I'm giving the lads giving me 10 or 20 houses. But you ever take 2.5 to 2.7 for the full wraparound for your roof, and then that's your, all your everything safe, secured, science, safety tag, debris netting, rubber chutes if needed, loading bay if needed, all that type of stuff. And of course, if there's beam work, you're probably seeing my story. I'd probably be in the height of it when I put the stories up.
Yeah. That's real. That's like me.
Oh, the beam work, that can be extra now. If you have to go over a conservatory, you have to go over, leave wheelchair access, or you have to leave this, or you have to leave that. Beam work's involved, of course, it's more money, but basic house are probably 2.5, 2.7 plus
to
that.
Right. And then the beautiful thing that I like about you as well, you don't, the other companies that have much bigger overheads as well, and we always look at the bigger companies, people naturally think, oh, they're bigger, they're better. Not so fucking true. No. But the beauty about you is that bigger company may be ringing you on, let's say I'm a 70-year-old man, I'm getting my roof done down in Crumlin. I'm getting my roof done, I'm getting my gutters done, I'm getting something else done, and I want to get the house scaffolding out in case. But let's just say that the roof tile or the roofer can't make it in on that date, and you've given me the scaffolding for 4 week period. Well, the bigger companies, as you know and I know, on the fourth week, on that day, they'll have a truck outside and that scaffolding's coming down or you're paying more. Now, I know with Tom, there's a little bit of wiggle room. That's just a phone call into you maybe and that's explain. Just,
yeah, like a lot of lads get held up with ordering the weather.
Yeah, the weather.
So, boy, I agree. All of my prices are 4 weeks, a month included in it. Anything after that, it's either, as I'm producing the job, you say, right, Tom, I need this for 12 weeks, I need it for 16 weeks, something of the sort. If it's a case of, right, Tom, that's going to actually be 6 weeks. Six weeks. Just let me know when you're ready with it.
Yeah.
But if it's a case of 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, right, come on, Paul, let's work something out here now. Yeah. I'm always fair with people because, as I said, I treat people as I want to be treated. I want to be fair with people, so I want people to be fair with me.
Yeah. And obviously, if that's sitting on my job and it's only out for $2,500 and it's only meant to be there for 5 weeks, well, there's 5 weeks of that scaffolding that gone. You could be putting onto, another job.
I could have two or three jobs up in that stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well done. So we're at the end to know a bit about your scaffolding company. I have loads of questions flying in my brain. You were saying earlier on as well, you wanted a few of the bigger buildings and maybe your smaller ones. And I think that always brings me back to the point. I remember an entrepreneur upstairs, we were having a little small event and he was like, he was at being at that Grand Cardone. Now I've been there myself, but everything is like 100 up in the air, 100 sideways, turns that, fucking everything at scale. I think you should take this point on and take it on as I'm going to tell you. And I get slagged for this. People just say to me all the time, you only do the small houses. They forget that I turn the fucking small houses around.
We are delighted to announce that this podcast is sponsored by Platinum Ventures. Platinum Ventures, we buy houses fast.
Hi, Dublin homeowners. Are you struggling to sell your property fast in the open market? Or maybe that deal has collapsed. Okay, if you're facing this type of problem, we have the perfect solution for you. Welcome to Platinum Ventures. We buy houses fast. Any property, any condition. We close out them deals within 28 days. Put out the stress of having endless viewings and having to pump money into property only to sell it. We are not estate agents and therefore you will pay zero agent fees. Visit platinumventures.ie today. Platinum Ventures, we buy houses fast.
So fast and make so much money out of them that by the time they blink, I've made $100,000. Don't forget that them small little houses for you, but the cash flow
that's
into
your bread and butter.
That's your fucking bread and butter. Like, and that's, I always hear people always wanting to scale. But I think we can never take the eye off the small things. Start small, keep a certain level of small things happening all the time, and then progressively have one or two of the bigger sites in
that's
there.
A lot of people forget is that that's what made you where you are.
Exactly.
Without them, you wouldn't be going to your bigger job. So, and the big thing as well, I wouldn't be letting lads down that I'm doing the smaller jobs for. I can't just turn around and say, I'm not doing smaller jobs no more. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Block my number.
You
can't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, look, Tom, you have a great little business. Thanks for giving us an insight into the behind what actually happens. What advice would you give to someone that maybe has left school like you, might have been sitting in the club? Now, I didn't realise you do play bingo. But they might know, we all know now, the whole of Ireland know you play bingo.
I'm not the best at it.
What advice would you give to someone that may be scratching the outside? My scenario was, I was probably riddled with ADHD. I couldn't get on in school. I had to leave, went straight into the world of business, and it just suited me down to the ground. And I remember making a promise to my dad, say, and my mom, that I'll make this work. It's going to be a bit of a roller coaster, but I'm going to stop all the bullshit here and I'll make this thing work. What advice would you give to a young lad that might be looking in this tonight, maybe 16, struggling with school, has been cutting grass all his life, has been doing it for you on the weekends, has been fucking, just has an entrepreneurial trait in his body and maybe is listening to educational podcasts and listening to, we've got two guys that are coming in here doing little small bits of business and I'm pushing them to get out. They will have probably the best podcast company in the country in the next few years because they got the drive for it. What advice would you give to the younger generation coming on?
Just do it. Take the risk. what's the worst going to happen? You can always, you'll always find work. You know, yeah. No matter what, you'll always find work. Take the risk, do it. The tip I give to people, this is how I got a lot of my business. Went to a print place, got 1,000 business cards made, and just drove around the whole of Leinster, near enough the whole of the Bourne, and any building job, knock in, bang, card, ring me. Knock in, bang, card, ring me. Just ring me for a price. It doesn't matter if you want me to do it or not. Just ring me for a price.
Yeah.
And once you're in there, once that number is saved in your phone, call Platinum Property. 3 months down the line. Oh, Paul, what's the crack? How's things? Anything going there next week or two? Oh, you know what? Now that you think of it, yeah, they have a job there. Don't produce it for me. Yeah. Next thing you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, you're on that job. You're getting it done.
And it gives you a chance to get in there and shine your light and do the things. Yeah, I know. I listen to a lot of business podcasts as well. And people say, you're 1,000 calls away or you're 1,000 business cards away from your first million. And you've probably hit the million mark with sales by now easily. But I think another good friend of mine over in the UK, his calling card was 100 leaflets per week. He's obsessed with it. Now, I'm telling you, obsessed with handing out 100 leaflets per week. He'd put them in shops. He'd put them in windows. He'd hand them to business. He'd hand them to fucking people that had no interest in property. Just to mentally know it's out. He has 10 times much property than I have. He has smashed it. That was his calling card. Yeah. So your calling card was you printed off 1,000, you got the business out. Yeah, now yeah. Just let it go.
There's often been times we've been driving down the road and I've jammed on the brakes and put the handbrake up and ran into a site. What are you doing? Like, I'll be back now in a minute. Go in there and block up traffic for 5 minutes. And Next thing you know, you're at the end of a 10 grand job over or a 20 grand job over.
And here's the other thing. You know, when you're selling your business, so like if I'm selling a training course or I'm selling a property, I'm fully behind my product. You are fully behind that scaffolding company. That's why you'll stop the traffic. That's why you let the hold up. That's why you let them beep the horn, because you know what you're going in to sell them works.
Yeah.
So well done. When you make this couple of million, tens and tens and tens of million, and I know you're a person that likes to see. I doubt you like to look into your bank and see a load of zeros. It's probably going to do fuck all for you. I think you're the type of person, I'm getting the feel you're the type of person that want to see things being grown under BT scaffolding or big time investment. What do you like in the world of investment when you bar scaffolding now, come off it. When you have got that million in your account,
break away from the scaffolding
now, now you can stop feeding the beast. Now you have to diversify a little bit. Let's just say you tap into the world of property. What's your cup of tea in property like?
Land. I've always been a land man.
How to put all that bleeding scaffolding comes back?
Big house and big yard of scaffolding at the back of it. That's me. No, land. That's land. Land is always something. I'm currently investing in land now for yards and for some investment properties. I like to try and kind of buy agricultural land, try to flip it into industrial or try to flip it into yards to rent out, something of the sorts. But the end goal is a big farm down the country somewhere. Not the farm now, have a few horses and that's me chilling out then. Hopefully they still hold on to the company and have a good system in place that everything's running smoothly. I do me 2 or 3 days a week or a couple of hours each day and that's me sorted. Or a big fund come in and buy the company. So
that could easily happen.
It's going to be hard to do because that's me baby, that is. But
yeah, no, I'm looking deeply into stuff like that too, and that happens every day of the week. Yeah. So that's stuff that, we, you know, they try and buy stuff off the likes of me and you that are up and they're turning over. Yeah. So land is what you like. And like, again, when I'm upstairs in the training room, that's not something that we talk about an awful lot. I mean, mobile homes are all put on lands. You pay a fortune to have them there. There's storage container units are huge now.
Yeah.
People haven't even looked at that properly. There's not too many people talking about land. Again, if you just have land, you buy and sell and it's done correctly, you can make an awful lot of money too. That's where you like to, that's where you're going to be parking.
That's where I like to have my money in and have, it's just, as I said again, it's just a matter of fact of driving down the road and saying, oh, I own that. And what's he doing in my field over there? Who's that?
So no, land. It's land, and
it's a good, as I said, it's a good turnaround as well. If you do it right, you do your maths on it, you'll make money on land.
Yeah, I again, another podcast I was listening to the other night, the guy Ty Lopez. Someone was just talking about him on another podcast and I ended up going home and Googled him and I watched an episode with him on Dropping Bombs with another guy called Brad Lee. It's a great episode. You should go back and watch it. you should probably listen to it on your way home. But they talked about where Tai Lopez set loads of different companies up and bought companies and blah, blah, blah. He's worth millions. He cracked YouTube at the very start, cracked Google Ads. He cracked loads of different things. Clever fucker. Like, you just know. You know when you're talking to... Like, you know talking to me, I'm clever, right? Right, but this lad... This lad is super clever. Like, you just pay attention when you're listening to him. But anyway, he watched what Google were doing. He watched what Bill Gates was doing. He watched what Jeff Bezos was doing. They're all going out and buying land out in, like, the arsehole of nowhere, out in, miles out. And he was buying it for, I think, for $9,000 an acre. I think his return now on it, which, you know, we're not talking back 14 or 15 years ago. I'm talking maybe in the last 4 or 5 years. That's gone to like 30 grand an acre now. And he was like, this is the best return on investment. So he brought a load of boys in out of New York, took them from New York City out to the sticks. And they were digging down for miles. And it was just pure and utter clay and muck. And he thought, this is the best investment. And he bought a ton of that shit. So I think land is something that maybe I should start looking into as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's something there. And as well, there's a lot of people trying to get on the property ladder nowadays. So the margins are getting tighter in houses and getting tighter and everything. And as you said, you never really hear much about land. So why not be the first one to jump on it, or one of the first people to jump on it?
And the planning will change. I mean, it's a disaster at the moment, but it will get a bit easier. And it should, if you have a bit of land banked, again, if BT Scaflin banks a couple of million and your land banking land, I think you're going to be a fucking wealthy boy.
Hopefully.
You've been a pleasure. Thanks a million for jumping in. Any last final thoughts?
Just get out there and get it done. Don't give up. That's the main thing. I do the long hours myself. I've done them all. Just don't give up. And just
hours do you normally put in a week, roughly? 168 hours in the week.
I haven't even done the maths on it. All I know is that I leave the house about 5:30 every morning and don't go home until about 7, 8 o'clock.
Yes.
There's one for you. You do the maths on that.
You're doing like me, 75, 80 hours. Anyway, you've been a great, great guest. Where do people find you and where can people follow your story? And I know you said you have an Instagram page.
Instagram, BT Scaflin, Instagram, TikTok.
So it's not BT, it's Big Tom Scaflin.
Big Tom Scaflin.
BT Scaflin.
Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to post a bit more on TikTok. It's just a bit hard. But Instagram, every day, 3 or 4 stories a day, you see my big ugly face on there.
You're the owner, so.
I'm the owner, yeah. And contact me, 083-823-7779. Give me a ring. Anyone wants even a price, give me a ring. Send me our photos, measurements, and I get a price over to you within the hour or two.
Good man, Tom. You've been a great guest. Thanks for
taking me on.
And thanks for letting us inside your business. I think it's very, very important that, you know, younger people that are sitting there and they may feel a bit trapped and think, well, I've got that drive that now they can get out there. And it could be any business that they've got the drive. And this country needs entrepreneurs to fix all the mess that's out there. So fair play to you. I'm going to chat to you soon.
Thank you, Neil Paul.
And a brief thank you to today's sponsors of our podcast, Platinum Property Training and Platinum Ventures. Thank you very much for listening in.